What is going on, everybody? You know what time it is. You know what day it is. So I shouldn't have to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's Movies on a Monday. I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt. You kind of have to say it because that's our title. That's what we're called.
You know what? No, somebody could have just been like, you know what? I'm going to just Russian roulette it and just see what comes on. And they could guess as we're going. Guess
to,
what the name
and to goes. Pick ours would have been like a bullet. That's the lost one, right?
We're shooting you with a good time.
Everyone's right? Just like, you know, you guys are right. I'm done. Click, they're off.
I can't play this game no more. Well, hey, we have one of my favorite things to talk about today, and I'm pretty sure it's high on Matt's list as well. I'm gonna give a warning. We're gonna try to do this as what would you say, time efficient as possible?
No, I would just say we're going to go fast. Like, I can use my nice political terms for it. We're just boom, Sonic.
Yes, because I am somewhere right now. I am on the road, but we got to make sure we talk about movies on Monday. And today we are talking about Marvel movies we think they should make.
True. True. And I just watched, you know, like that. This is a perfect time because they just had No Way Home go on DVD and they just were within the week of Doctor Strange 2 coming out and Moon Knight is wrapping up this week. Lots of great Marvel content. I mean, Marvel puts out enough stuff. Anytime you do a Marvel thing, it's probably a good timeline. But I'm just going to jump in because I just watched No Way Home and I'm like, No Way Home was so good. It had a lot of Spider-Man villains, but it had five villains. And that's one less than the movie that I want them to do. Although I don't trust Sony with it because Sony's been trying to do a Sinister Six movie for a while and they haven't been able to get things off the ground, but I want to see an MCU Kevin Feige Sinister Six movie. I would trust that because we came pretty close with this, but what I really like when we see from Sinister Six, so those who don't know, Sinister Six is just kind of like the Justice League, but for Spider-Man villains. So he fights six villains at a time. Usually it's similar to the guys that we actually saw in No Way Home. But what I like about Sinister Six movies is that usually he doesn't have that support of the other Spider-Verse like he did in No Way Home. And so instead you get to see Spider-Man come up with very clever and creative ways to get the best of his opponents because he has to. He can't just do what he usually does with these guys. He has to find new ways to defeat his opponents. And it really pushes him to his limits and it really brings him to a breaking point. And I think that I would love to see Sinister Six. I'd love to see some of the Spider-Man villains that we haven't even seen or we haven't seen that much of. You know, Kraven the Hunter comes to mind. He's not always Sinister Six, but he's popped in there. I mean, you look at any Spider-Man villain, you could probably be like, yeah, he's been on there at one point or another, even though it usually has like the same main guys.
See, okay, here's my deal with that. I think we're probably not going to get a better Sinister Six movie other than Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse that we got, because that was basically a Sinister Six movie right there, because they had all different types of villains in there. And yes, it was in Miles Morales's universe, but that was pretty strong. I just think one of the things that we have not seen with any comic book movie thus far is a bad guy that pops up, a villain that pops up later on. I'm not talking about the next sequel over. I'm talking about, hey, we dealt with this, and then two movies later, it's like, oh yeah, he's come back. We've had maybe Thanos would be close to that, even though he was not the main focus. Yes. And in order to make the Sinister Six happen and actually really like get into it, you would need to know all of those villains really well. And that's what makes it so like so much of a struggle for Peter Parker, because just to throw them in there for villain's sake, it wouldn't have that same impact.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you do have a couple guys, like especially Vulture. Vulture is a amazing Spider-Man villain. The Michael Keaton version that they've done, they really developed Adrian Toomes well. But
did you see Morbius?
No, we've talked about this.
Oh, they've already messed him up. Like, I can't believe they did what they did. It was terrible. I agree with you. They should have kept that. He's not in that universe no more. He's not in the MCU no more, which is horrible. I can't even believe what they did. This is why Sony, I have no hope for them going forward. All these other Spider-Man, what do they have? They got Spider-Woman. They got Madam Web coming out.
Yeah,
Kraven the Hunter. Where are they going with this? I don't know.
It's the method of throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. That's always been Sony's method. If we just keep people making like movies, one of these will be good. And they were right, because Into the Spider-Verse was really, really good.
That's true. It was. That was probably one of the best Spider-Man movies I've ever seen. So good.
All right. Hit us with one of your picks.
Okay. So I'm going to stick with the Spider-Man with you. I wasn't going to go there, but you made me think of Ultimate Spider-Man. Now, if you guys don't know Ultimate Spider-Man, basically Doc Ock and Spider-Man, they've been going back and forth for a while. And so this would be yet another movie where the villain would have to return. You couldn't do this in the first movie with Doc Ock in it. But Doc Ock finds a way to actually transfers his consciousness into Peter's body. And then Peter goes into Doc Ock's body, and he ends up burying Peter alive. And he ends up being Spider-Man. And he thinks he can be the better Spider-Man, the ultimate Spider-Man. And so he's going around, but he's like killing, like he's punishing villains, like going out. And he's starting to realize as he's being Spider-Man, he's like, whoa, Peter Parker could have killed me. He's been pulling his punches all along. And he starts to gain this like massive respect for Spider-Man, because he's now realizing all the things that he did. He's realizing how Peter Parker is able to keep everything together and still fight, but not only fight, but fight with a heart that said, I'm not here to punish people, I'm here to save people. And so it's really a story about Doc Ock and appreciation and learning really who Spider-Man really is, not just as a person, but at his core and as his heart.
I think you mean Superior Spider-Man.
I'm sorry. I say all? I'm sorry. Yes, Superior.
And when you started going into the synopsis, I was like, oh, I don't like the body swap element of that, because that gets comic books are weird. And yeah, there's a certain amount of weirdness you have to accept. But the whole like my consciousness and another person, especially for something as grounded, Spider-Man's more grounded than some other ones. That's a hard sell. And I think that might be why some movies haven't gotten close to this yet. But there's potential in it, because I do like the theming that you're hitting on.
Yes. All right, what else you got?
I think we need to, so it's almost like it's a combination of two, because you'd have to have the Phoenix Force first in order for the pitch I'm going to give you. And they've tried to do the Phoenix twice, and they gave the writing to the same guy, and he failed to bring Phoenix to screen in a good way twice. In fact, the best writing for the Phoenix on screen happened in X2, and that Phoenix didn't even show up. It was just like, it was a really, really good setup, the Phoenix in X2, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. And then they dropped the ball with X3, and I'm like, all right, well, forget it. So you would need at least like a really solid setup or a good understanding of Phoenix Force in order to do X-Men versus Avengers. X-Men versus Avengers is a great story arc that does have to do with, like, this is the reason why they pit them against each other, is, and it's very understandable, is because this Phoenix Force is coming back, and it's going to inhabit, I think that, if I recall correctly, there's a little bit that I don't quite remember, but I think it was going to inhabit one of these newer X-Men that it's targeting, and she's kind of like the soul of the fight between them. And so like the Avengers kind of have a more not the nicest way to go about it. They don't view this new X-Men as like human, almost to the point where it's like no, we can't have a host for Phoenix. We can't let that come and attack us again. And the sacrifice of this one X-Men is worth it. Whereas obviously the X-Men do have a problem with that. And they're like, we're going to find another way. And I think that's a really good idea. And that gives really good, because you can see the points from each one, even if you wouldn't agree with it, similar to how they did Civil War. You can definitely see Stark's and you can see Cap's points in it, even if you didn't agree with one side or the other. And so I think there's a lot of good quality that can happen from this. Obviously, we're going to need some X-Men movies and Phoenix Force to build up to that. But eventually, with X-Men coming into the multiverse, and we're going to start seeing X-Men, maybe even this year. Sounds like we're going to see an X-Men this year in some stuff, at least one, if not more. We're going to start seeing those mutants pop up. And then once they establish that, I'm all for X-Men versus Avengers. That will be
a
high ticket selling event.
Yes. Well, I shouldn't say opposite. On that same kind of spectrum, because see, here's the thing. I get excited about a lot of X-Men movies because now it opens the door for all these things.
Yep.
One of the ones, my dream, like I would be like, yep, that's it. That's all I wanted to see. We're good. Was if they're able to pull off Onslaught. Now, if you guys don't know, basically throughout the comics, you have Professor Xavier and you have Magneto. So beforehand, Magneto gets out of control. And matter of fact, he gets so out of control that Professor X, he has to erase his mind. He's just like, you know what? The only way to stop you at this point is I'm just erasing your whole mind. And so they just basically just wipe Magneto off the planet, so to speak. And so at this point, you're realizing, okay, the X-Men don't have Magneto no more. But then this other like mysterious bad guy starts to pop up where it's doing all these things and it's taking different people. And they're like, who's taking these different people? What's going on? And like somebody, I think it was Jean Grey or somebody, she gets like a psychic connection, like, oh my goodness, it's all I know is his name is Onslaught. That's all this bad guy is. But he pops up in all these different comics and people are like, who is Onslaught? Who is this guy? And then finally, he takes Nathaniel Richards. Now, if you guys don't know Nathaniel Richards, he's Reed and Sue Richards' son, the Fantastic Four. He's their son and he's a mutant, but he has the power to like change reality. So basically whatever he like thinks of it, that's what he can do. And so he gets stolen and then all of a sudden Onslaught appears. But we come to find out Onslaught is Professor X and he has gone mad. And since he stole like all Magneto's, like wiped his brain, he didn't wipe it. He just transferred it into his mind. And so now he's dealing with two other his personalities now coming together and it's created like this ultimate force. Excuse me, I'm choking, named Onslaught. And Onslaught, he's like wants to change the whole planet to what he feels like. And so this isn't just a X-Men bad guy. It literally takes every single hero to stop him. And in order to stop him at the end, they have to fill the void. And so Cap jumps in, Thor jumps in, like all these different heroes jump in and they're gone. Like the only way to defeat them is for them to jump into this reality to fill the void that Onslaught has made in reality. And so after this, there's a whole slew of heroes that are missing. And so this pushes the X-Men to the brink because now the X-Men, they have to fill this void of superheroes. And it starts, a whole bunch of things happen after that. Onslaught to me would be the perfect villain for a 10-year arc because he doesn't just show up in one movie. He has to show up in multiple and he could pull the whole Thanos thing where he can affect every single hero out there. So for me, Onslaught's that guy.
I think another big villain for a multi-year arc, and especially for popping up in other ones, would be Galactus. I've always loved Galactus. I've always been waiting for a good Galactus. I know they brought him in for Fantastic Two, but no, that was a cloud. That wasn't Galactus. That was a cloud.
No.
And with Galactus, of course, comes Silver Surfer. I enjoy Silver Surfer. First of all, Silver Surfer just looks awesome. Secondly, there's some really good theming with Silver Surfer, because Silver Surfer has to be the herald of Galactus. He has to do the dirty work of a guy who destroys planets, and he does it because of a commitment to his family, to keep his family safe, and the, like, you know, what can one person be brought to do in order to save those that they care about, and the weight that he carries in doing all of that, and also even to be able to tackle, like, even some themes of like servitude and slavery and all that, because that is him. He's a slave to Galactus. And so I think that Silver Surfer is rife with a lot of potential. He's always been an awesome hero, and Galactus has been a great villain that he eats planets. Like, it's nuts. My only downside I've ever fought with Galactus is, like, it's really hard to have normal people fight him. They always have to, like, come up with some big cosmic way to destroy him, and that's always been his downfall, where it's like Thanos, they're like, okay, you can actually have them fight even if they're way outmatched. So they'd have to do some creative ways to get them to fight Galactus, but I still love Galactus. I've always loved him. He's a great threat.
Well, I would even say for Galactus, you could pull it off like they did with Avengers Infinity War, where everybody has kind of like their own missions. Because that, to me, even better than Endgame, I thought Infinity War did that well, where you had two different, like, I think three different groups that had their own thing that they needed to do. And it wasn't directly, hey, go battle Thanos, but you have all of Thor's mission to go and create now I'm forgetting the name of it.
His Storm ass. Slayer?
Yeah, Stormbreaker. There we go.
Stormbreaker. Thank you.
And so everybody had their own different things. So I think for Galactus, if you did it like that, that could work. And so I do. I think Galactus would be a great thing. I think Silver Surfer, especially like you're saying, with this history and how he came to be, I think that would be incredible, with just how he sacrifices himself for his home world, and he becomes a slave. I think that's awesome. My ultimate, I know I said Onslaught, but truly, I don't think they'll be able to pull off this one. You never know. But for me, it would be Age of Apocalypse. Age of Apocalypse is like the greatest X-Men story, at least to me, I've ever read. And everybody will say Days of Future Past and all that, and it's good. But Age of Apocalypse, this would take a really long time to put together. But for Age of Apocalypse, basically, you would need to have the character Bishop. Bishop gets sent back from a different time, and Bishop's whole mission is like he has to stop this future from happening, this awful future where everything is destroyed. But when Bishop first gets sent back, he doesn't know why. His memory gets wiped. And so as he's back, next thing you know, you have to understand that Professor X, he has a son. His son is called Legion, and he's basically, his mind is broken. So if you guys are watching Moon Knight right now, it's not just he has multiple different personalities, but he has, like, his mind is, like, fractured. It's like he's different people, different place. It, like, but he has this ultimate power. Once again, he can go back in time and he can change things. And for Legion, he always hears that, you know, Magneto's trying to kill his dad. And so he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go back and kill Magneto. And when he goes back to kill Magneto, he ends up killing his father instead. And that changes everything. And of course, Legion gets wiped out. So they can't go back and reverse this. And so now it creates this whole, like, age where Magneto ends up becoming, like, the leader of the X-Men, and Apocalypse ends up taking over everything. And so when everything starts, the story focuses first on Bishop, because now he's like, wait a minute,
my mission was to go back, but this even feels even weirder. And so he's trying to figure out everything on what he's supposed to do. And throughout, you're seeing all different sorts of variations of the X-Men. Like Wolverine is missing an arm, and like Cyclops only got one eye and he's a bad guy. Like, it is incredible. It is sick. And every single hero, we're not just talking X-Men, we're talking every single hero, there's a variation of them. And the whole thing is, the world is about to end. The world governments are coming together, and they're just going to atomic bomb Apocalypse because nobody can stop them. And so they're all trying to get to this point where they're trying to stop Apocalypse, and they're trying to stop these bombs from happening. It is like a crazy, crazy story. I wish they could do it. That to me would be my ultimate.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like Apocalypse. I like him a lot. You talked about both Apocalypse and Moon Knight in the same little blurb there. You got two Oscar Isaac roles back to back.
No. What Oscar Isaac did with Apocalypse, that is not Apocalypse, okay? Erase that out of your mind. That is not Apocalypse right there. He looks weird.
You hear that, guys? Burn it into your retinas.
I pointed to my
temple when I said retinas. I don't know biology, apparently.
You know what? He reminded me of Power Rangers, the very first Power Ranger movie they had.
the ooze guy, yeah.
The ooze guy, yes. That's exactly what he looked like to me. No, that is not Apocalypse at all.
My only problem with Apocalypse has always been like his very vaguely defined powers. It's always been like, he's an ancient mutant. What are his powers? Well, he's ancient and he has powers. Okay, great. Well, what are they? Well, it depends. Which story arc do you want to follow?
here's what I understand Apocalypse to be. Basically, he is the first mutant, supposedly. He's the very first mutant, and he can manipulate his body. So he can turn it into a structure, whether it be grow big, grow small. He can manipulate his body structure, but then he also has the ability to advance other people's mutant powers. He has the ability to transform it. So like for one, I'm trying to think who he did this to.
Not to keep harping on the movie, but you did even see it in the movie, like with Angel. He quickened his like wings and made him what, like more metallic or whatever.
Yeah, it's dumb. Okay, that all that to say, don't. It's not the movie one. That one, whatever Fox did with the X-Men, there are only a few movies that I would be like, yeah, that's a solid movie. But for the most part, none of them. Matter of fact, the only like movie I would really stand behind would be even Logan. But even then, I'm like, that was missing quite a few things that they could have done. But
there's always gonna be plenty of things they could have done. Like X-Men Days of Future Past was fantastic.
Yes.
But instead of using Bishop, or instead of using Kitty, because she was the one that did it, right?
Right.
That they use Logan. And it's like, it works because of the star power. You can make a point of it. That I had no problems with how they did it, but it definitely changed. It's like you bring Halle Berry back as Storm for really nothing. And you brought Ian McKellen back as Magneto. Like Patrick Stewart had more to do as Professor Xavier, but Ian McKellen was also kind of like window dressing there. And it's like, you know, it was a solid movie. I will always recommend X-Men Days of Future Past. But yeah, it was lacking. But still, I was a huge fan of it, and I love what they did. So I love X-Men storylines. X-Men storylines are just top-notch. They're great. I'm not like a crazy huge Deadpool guy by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of people are. They love it, and they love the humor and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know how you would make this work, but there is this off-brand type of very, very dark, very grisly Deadpool storyline called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
And it is insane. It's literally like the title tells you everything you need to know. Him, he just snaps and he kills all of the heroes in Marvel Universe. And so you see him, like how he kills them. And like, you know, one of them, he uses Pym particles to shrink bombs, to put it in the Avengers coffee that they're drinking, and it blows all of them up. one of my personal favorites was with Professor Xavier, the way that he kills him is he pretty much invites Xavier to read his mind. And because of the his traumatic past and the scarring that he has on his brain, Professor Xavier can't handle what Deadpool was able to go through, and it kills him by reading his mind. So like, it's that sort of stuff. And then Deadpool eventually at the end of it, he kills the animators who are animating him, and then he breaks the fourth wall one more time, and he starts to come through the page to kill the reader. And that's, of course, where it ends. It's an off-the-wall, like, one-off storyline. You can't do it as a part of a connected universe. You can do it as part of a multiverse thing. But and it is very violent. It's very gory, very dark. But and there's none of his like quipping. There's a little bit of quipping, but there's not, it's not the Ryan Reynolds, like it's the Ryan Reynolds like Deadpool from X-Men Origins, like that evil I'm going to destroy you type versus the goofy whimsical Deadpool.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think even though Deadpool has become popular, I think even Ryan Reynolds is one of the few actors that have actually changed the comic book character. And I just think he's good, but I've never been a fan of Deadpool in the past movie. First one was great. But a couple like that I wanted to put on my list here was if they could have like one movie of Generation X. I'm sure it needs a name change, but Generation X, because so many times we think of the X-Men as this team, but they actually, there's a school. They actually train other mutants to use their powers. And so there's these group of students that are kind of like runner-ups, if you will, for to become on the X-Men. And they kind of have their own kind of things where they're going to class, but then also all these other things like pop up. So I think that would be a great thing. But we are running out of time. And my matter of fact, on Zoom, it only says I have 5 minutes left before it shuts off.
So. Even Zoom doesn't want us to talk too long in this. Like, all right, guys, that's enough.
But
one more thing I'll drop to. There's I love what Phase 4 is doing in terms of it's setting up a lot of different factions. It's setting up like it set up the Ten Rings with Shang-Chi and it's and like it, a part of it is like something big happens. And then there's these different factions that will break off, and like Dark Avengers is another one. Thunderbolts. There's some debate as to whether it's the Thunderbolts or the Dark Avengers that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is forming. They serve the same purpose. let's not kid ourselves, but they have a lot of these characters that are part of the Marvel Knights series, and the Marvel Knights series was a little bit more grown up and a little bit more mature. And we saw like the introduction of Black Knight at the end of Eternals. Sorry to spoil that for you, but it's been out for 6 months. At the end of Eternals, in the last scene, we saw that Black Knight is in the MCU. We've seen that Blade is, we know he's going to be in the MCU. Moon Knight is now in the MCU. So there's plenty of these Knight characters, and for this more grown up, mature version. And they've already said that the Deadpool 3 is going to be R-rated. So we know that Kevin Feige is okay with a little bit more of a mature take on Marvel properties. I think Moon Knight, actually the series right now, is a really good way to give you a PG-13 more mature take, because it is more mature. It is a little bit more grown up, but it's not overtly that way. It's not R-rated as of yet. So I think that they do have a good balance right there with that. But I think there's a lot of good characters in Marvel Knights series we could see.
Yeah. No, I think, especially, I was a little off on the Moon Knight at first, but they've started, if you haven't watched the show, I think it's gotten a lot better. But
yeah, it's really good.
All right. Well, hey, you tell us what you think, what Marvel movies you want to see. Other than that, next week, we have Doctor Strange coming out. So I'm excited. We're going to be talking about that next Monday. Other than that, my name is Terrence.
And I'm Matt.
And we're telling you, go see Doctor Strange, because we're talking about it next week. Peace.
What are you still doing here? This isn't an end credit scene. We're not MCU. We're not Marvel. We don't do this. Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, Samuel Jackson, come on here. Invite us to the Avengers Initiative. Okay, cool. We're going to be a part of that. Great. look, that's what you did. You wasted your life. Great job.